Welcome to No Save for You, a podcast where I gather my thoughts about tabletop RPGs. My name's Cody. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, I wanted to give a quick warning at the start of this episode. The first call-in is from Jason with the Nerds RPG Variety Cast, and I'm not quite sure what's going on in the background, but it is incredibly loud. It sounds like Jason's like maybe in a hallway with chain link fences, casually talking into his phone while he fights off a horde of ninjas or something. I'm not really quite sure. It's a bunch of slamming and banging, so it is quite loud. So you might want to, for this first call-in anyway, just roll the volume down on whatever you're listening, and especially if it's headphones or if it's like your car speakers, you don't want to blow them out. Just roll the volume down. All right, I'm going to give you a second to do that, and then we'll move on with the call-ins.
Hey, Cody, Jason here, Nerds RPG Variety Cast. Great to hear your podcast again. I'm the same way with Zine Quest. I have an idea, something I want to do, but I really don't want to make money off it for different reasons. So I'm probably going to wait till Itch.io does their next thing that kind of involves zines or whatever, and I'll release it on one of those jams. And that way, because I can release things for free over there. So I'll probably go that route. Other than that, I'm looking forward to the Bear Maze reopen. I'm looking forward to other games with you. And I guess that's about it. So I will talk to you later.
Yo, what's up, Cody? Wanted to call and say welcome back, man. I'm glad you're doing this again because I really enjoy your show, and I would really, really like to hear about your experiences with trying to put together a face-to-face group in LA. I don't know if you remember, but I grew up down in Orange County, but I moved out a long time ago. My sister still lives down there though, and I can only imagine that it isn't all that easy to put together a face-to-face group down there. Even with as many people as there are, it still seems like it might be tough. But maybe it's not. So, yeah, dude, I think that'd be really interesting to hear. So take it easy. Glad to hear your brother's doing okay. Have a great night, and peace out.
Hey, Cody. I'm just calling to tell you how pleased as punch I am to be counted as one of them barrel friends. But I'm doubly blessed. I'm doubly blessed, Cody, because I also get to be one of them tumble down tickweeds. So, you know, just love what you do. Glad to hear you're back podcasting, doing your thing, and just good to know you're on our side. You're one of the good guys, and I'm glad to count you as a friend, brother.
Hey, Cody, it's Joe calling in about improv and what I do when the players get weird. And I just roll with the flow, man. I come up with stuff off the cuff. I don't really consult charts or anything like that. But half of the time, I'm the one coming up with stuff that I didn't even see coming. Seriously, man. My players don't believe me, but it's true. I don't know half of the things my NPCs are going to say before they actually say it. And as an example, just last night, there ended up being a theatrical play in the middle of our session because of just this crazy series of events, and it was hilarious and fun and awesome and 1,000% unexpected. So there it is, man. Peace out.
Hey, Cody, Jason again. Sorry. You can tell how good my memory is. I forgot what you had asked us to talk about before I even started recording the other message for you. How do I handle when players do things off the wall? I just react to it and do the best I can. It's one of the reasons, so if I'm doing Roll 20 and I build out maps and all that, and, you know, it's more tactical play, then I feel kind of bad if I don't have that for whatever they want to do. So luckily that hasn't happened a whole lot, and I've been able to use the maps and stuff I've made. But I've started trying to do more Theater of the Mind, and in the past I've done a lot of Theater of the Mind just for that reason. So when they want to do something off the wall, I'm not stuck without any visuals to show them, right? But yeah, I just riff off whatever they want to do. I mean, it's, you know, it's all good. I don't use random charts or any of that. I just make it up as I go. Hope that helps.
All right, so we heard from Jason with the Nerds RPG Variety Cast, Joe with the Wheeler Woe and Hindsightless podcast, and we heard from Mr. TJ Drennan, who does a ton of podcasts. The Malodorous Miasma Meltdown, he's got Triple O, and now we have Triple T, which we talked about in the last episode, the Tumbleweeds podcast. Yeah, guys, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. It sounds, you know, so both Joe and Jason just forego random charts and tables and those kind of play aids and just kind of wing it off the cuff. I'm pretty similar. I have a few, like the D30 sandbox companion. I'll pull that out, or the D30. There's another one he did that I'm spacing the name on that's also D30 based. I'll pull those out if I need them quickly, you know, if I need it. But yeah, to Jason's point on the Roll20, so I do most of my gaming is online, and I do use Roll20, but the only maps that I load into there are going to be dungeon maps for locales that I have set up on the map for the players to explore. I don't typically do anything like, you know, if they get in a fight in the wilderness, it's theater of the mind for me. It's not going to be, you know, a pretty map that I had laid up, which works fine for me, and I don't really mind it. I know people like Jason Hobbs, when he's running Kalmata or some of his other games, you know, he has like these intricate maps that he spends a lot of time on. I say a lot, it's probably just a couple minutes per map, but you know, he's got several of them ready to go for us, which is also a kind of a cool experience. So I don't know, I guess it really just depends on your play style, but yeah, I'm more for theater of the mind than I am for tokens on a mat. So and yeah, you know, Joe brought up a point. He wanted to hear me talk about setting up a game in LA. So that's what today is going to be about. We're going to talk about setting up for an in-person or face-to-face game. All right. So I guess the whole reason for this is I've been really missing face-to-face games. When I was back in Texas, I got to play with my uncle and my cousins and all at the table again, and it just really brought me back to when I was a kid and when I first started playing, you know, sitting at a table interacting with people that were there with me. And you know, I really missed that feeling. So when I got back to LA, I was immediately trying to set up a face-to-face game, and you know, I wanted to do an OSR game. I was just trying to get people to play BX or Labyrinth Lord or whatever, and man, I went to all of the game stores around me. And by the way, there's like anywhere from 10 to 12 gaming stores that are within a 40-minute drive for me. So I went to all of them. And some of them you have to get on their like web forum and do it that way. Or some use Facebook, or some, you know, you just post a sign in the thing in the store, like in the window. And some of them, you know, there's like a board you can write on in the store. Anyway, so I went through all these different methods, and I didn't get a single reply on any of the old school attempts that I made. And some were marketed as straight up dungeon crawls, or some were West Marches style games, or some were, you know, high fantasy, you know, just trying to entice a wide variety of interest. And yeah, I didn't get a single response. Well, I shouldn't say that. I did get a couple responses, but the people that I ended up meeting with that responded were just, how do I put this? People I wasn't necessarily interested in gaming with in a physical space. Two of the guys that I met up with, and I feel really bad saying this, but I'm just going to come out and say it. They smelled bad. I mean, they were struggling with personal hygiene for whatever reason. I don't know if it's something medical or if it's just and their personality or what, but anyway, you know, I have a choice in this, and I made the conscious choice to not put myself in that situation. I'm sure they were nice guys and, you know, perfectly fine as players and fun people to be around, but, you know, we're in a confined space for 3 to 4 hours. It's not something I want to be around, but so yeah, things just kind of fell through. And, you know, all around me while this is happening at all these other stores, I see things like 5th edition or 4th edition or like more modern games just filling up like hot, you know, people like coming at them like hotcakes. And so I have decided that I'm going to try my hand at 5th edition in the LA area. And that was my decision after, you know, basically giving up on attempts at running old school games. And so I started up the Barrow Friends blog, which I talked about last time, and I put a post up about my changes that I would make to 5th edition, and I'll link that post in the show notes. My main goal was to, with 5th edition, was to keep it as close to the rules as written as possible. So mainly just making an emphasis on the existing rules and then some of the options presented in the Dungeon Master's Guide to kind of focus the game on exploration-based rewards, so like hex crawling and going into dungeons and that kind of stuff, and resource management. I really like the resource management aspect of games. And so, yeah, I was working on getting like a poster made up and all this kind of stuff. And I was at work doing this, and I overheard two of my coworkers talking about a game. And, you know, I went up and I was just getting in on the conversation. And, you know, lo and behold, they're talking about Dungeons and Dragons and how they wanted to play it. One of the guys had played one session like the year prior. And one of them had never played before, had heard of it, and was kind of interested. And I was like, well, just so happens I know just a little bit about this game. And, you know, after a little bit of back and forth, we decided we were actually going to try it out. So I'm running a game for a couple of my coworkers and my coworkers' friends. I think the group is going to be, let's see, it was those two. I think anywhere from 4 to 5 players. And that is going to be this coming Friday on, that's the 24th of January. And I am very, very excited. Both of the guys, my coworkers, they're really nice guys. And, you know, we're pretty close friends through work. So I'm looking forward to that. So I've been spending my time over the past, I don't know, week or so, kind of getting things together for this game. And I have, and at first I was thinking, you know, just tell them we're going to play 5th edition and maybe actually we'll just use the BX rules or something kind of shady like that. And while I mean, I really don't have an issue with that, but I wanted to give 5th edition a chance. I haven't really given it a wholehearted attempt. And, you know, it's just something I want to have that experience so that I can know if it's something for me or if it's something I'm going to skip on going forward. So that's what we're going to do for this first little campaign. We're going to use 5th edition. I've printed out my house rules for these guys and am going to hand them out. And we're going to do character creation on Friday and then run through a little one-page dungeon that I made up to kind of get them on their way. And so I have on my shelf both the starter set for 5th edition and the essentials kit. And I was doing some digging and I found a guy on Reddit who kind of mashed them up because they're both based on like the Phandalin region of the Sword Coast and Forgotten Realms. I could give two craps about the official setting from 5th edition or from WotC or whatever. But it comes with a cool overland hex map. And, you know, I was looking at it, and with both of these box sets combined, you actually have a pretty solid start to a very densely packed sandbox-style game, which is right up my alley. So that's what I'm going to go with. So, yeah, I have these two things, and I also made the decision that I'm going to do this completely in the analog style. I'm not going to use my computer or my phone or any of that stuff. So we're going to roll real dice right on real paper with pencils and big pink erasers and all of that stuff. So I've been kind of gathering things together. And so I guess I'll just kind of rattle off what we have so far. So we have the box sets. I've got the 5th edition books. I have printed out house rules. And I made up a little handout for like what should you expect from this game, kind of the things I'm expecting from players and things they should expect from me, and social contract, all this kind of stuff. And I've got scratch paper, pencils, a pencil sharpener, erasers. I've got my maps printed out. I've got the big hex map that came in the essentials kit. I had that image blown up to about twice the size. I don't know the dimensions off the top of my head. It's pretty big. If I hold it up to like my neck, it goes down to almost my knees. And then I went to FedEx and had them laminate that for me. And so that's the big hex map, and it's going to be put up on the table. And I've got a handful of the Monopoly houses that are used to mark points of interest. And I've actually gotten some sticky tack and printed off the names of the points of interest, cut it out to look kind of like a little banner, and attach that to toothpicks. And then you stick the toothpick on top of the sticky tack on top of the Monopoly house. And that, you know, you throw that out on the map for them to see when they discover a point of interest, and it'll kind of stay there. And since it's laminated, they can write on the map with the wet erase markers. And, if we have to trace out their like travel path or whatever, they can write it out on the map. And anyway, I'm gushing at this point, but I'm very excited for this game. And I feel like I've done a lot of, I was concerned that I was over prepping, but when I took a step back to look at things, the only preparation I've actually really done for the game is getting the physical components together that I want. And I kind of want these guys to get the full kind of gamut. We're going to use like miniatures to track. I'm not going to do like grid-based combat, but just, you know, throw it up on a piece of paper or I have one of those vinyl mats that has like grid on it and hex on the other side. So I'm going to use the grid side, and we'll kind of do just a loose fictional positioning with some minis that I have from when I was a kid. And yeah, so I'm just very excited. So I guess I'll report back on how that went at the end of this week, maybe on this weekend's episode. And as far as my actual prep for the game goes, my typical preparation method is I allow 3 sessions of preparation at 10 minutes each. I set an actual timer on my phone. If I sit down to write out notes or write down encounters or read adventures, all that kind of stuff, I set the timer starts, I set 10 minutes, right? And I allow myself 3 of those sessions, and I figure if I can't get it down at least to run what I have planned for that evening session in those periods of prep, then I'm, you know, it's probably I need to adjust something. So that's been my method, and I feel like it's worked pretty well for me in the past. So that's what I'm really doing this time around. And I'm very, very excited about it. I'm totally losing my train of thought just thinking about stuff. Also, in regards to preparation, that is not to say that I don't think about the game pretty much constantly. I do allow myself to free think. As long as I'm not writing stuff down or whatever, I don't start the timer. So anyway, that's kind of my preparation method. To be honest, I don't know where I picked that up from, but it does work well for me. So anyway, that's just kind of all I really wanted to talk about today is, you know, setting up for this in-person game. If you guys run in-person games, would you call in and let me know what's your setup like? Are you guys using miniatures for grid-based combat, or is it all theater of the mind? Are you sitting around a table just with a scratch pad and a handful of dice? Are you letting just the DM roll dice? You know, there's a bunch of different ways that I've seen this kind of thing happen, and I'm just interested to know what the other methods are. So, all right, guys. Well, I think that's going to be it today. Kind of a short episode. We got some call-ins at the front. So I hope everyone is having a wonderful day or evening or weekend. Whenever you listen to this, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Well, folks, thanks for listening. You can find me on Discord and MeWe. Music on this show is by Lobo Loco. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good...